I'll be sitting when the evening comes, just watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah?
Yep.
Just sitting here on the dock of the bay.
Just sitting here on the dock of the bay.
Watching the tide
roll away.
Oh my God.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Gabe. How are you, dude?
Good.
Yeah, dude. Just sitting here at the dock of the bay. We're just saying this is number five.
Number five. And what better way to celebrate number five than with the mayor of Macon, Georgia, singing or speaking, sitting on the dock of the bay.
Wait, that's not like a show name? Like
It was really the mayor of Macon, yeah. Georgia.
Oh, wow. So this is a James Brown production. It was a smart move, James. Yeah. He's like, I think I might have some run-ins with the law at some point. It might, you know what, Mr. Mayor? Come on down. Record an album.
We'll get you a team jacket and everything.
We'll get you a cape. You can touch my shoes. Don't forget who made you famous.
Oh, the crazy things you find on 45.
Dude, I'm always impressed with the stuff that you send me. Which, by the way, you have sent me, I think, close to 50 different songs over the last year or so.
That's a lot of songs.
That's a lot of songs.
What was I doing with my time?
I don't know. You weren't working, that's for sure.
Don't tell anybody.
Okay, we'll just put this out on Spotify then. No one will know.
Spotify what?
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, hey, dude. Welcome to another episode of Racks and Stacks. I'm Aaron Oster.
And I'm Gabe Besaw.
Oh, man. What a great day. This week is like spring is like starting to get in the air. Everyone's feeling frisky. And then it like snowed yesterday.
Yeah. And the bear has been to my house twice this week.
Is that your alternate ego? The bear?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, okay. The bear.
Oh, you mean like a real bear?
Like real bear. Yeah. 2 days in a row, he knocked down the trash, cleaned out the bird feeders.
That's nice of him. Yeah, it's spring cleaning.
Yeah, my wife was not happy.
Well, you think that pellet gun will do any damage to that bear?
Nope, not
just
one bit.
Just piss him off.
Yep. Maybe send him away.
Yeah. How's my levels are all right. It sounds okay.
Yeah, sounds great.
Okay. So, dude, how was your week, man?
It's busy.
Yeah. Yeah, tell him about it. It's wild, man. Like, this time of year, I don't know about for you, but, like, for me, this is the time when everyone is, like, desperate to be outside. And we just start to get a little taste of what summer's going to be like. So it's good. You know, we got a new team member at the spot who seems really stoked. He's got a good attitude. And the rest of the team is, like, ready to roll. They're just, like, they're stoked to be busy again, which is good, which is totally good. But I'm glad that we're not doing the catering or we're doing any of the other stuff that we used to do in 2019 so that we can just focus on, like, enjoying the summer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you guys had a special on Monday?
Oh, yeah. So, man, what an incredible guy. So, a massive shout-out to Tu, Lee, and Matthew, who they run 328 North Farms in Williamstown. And Tu is, he was born in Vietnam and then came here like as an infant, like as a wee baby. And he's the youngest of 12.
Wow.
I've never worked with someone with such a beautiful and rich history and also like a tremendous desire to like, not desire. He's just, the dude is genuine. He's himself. It's awesome. And he's super, excuse me. He's super in love with the food that he's making. He grows all this stuff here in Williamstown. So, like, okay. Vietnamese flavor profiles, I don't know a ton about, but I can tell you that, like, lemongrass, ginger, galangal, like, different types of chilies, call that a fundamental base. He's growing all these different varieties of these things here in Williamstown, which is incredible for one reason. But then for two, it's like, we're so stoked to work with him because he's really community centric. Like he wants to raise awareness for different organizations throughout the Berkshires, but also just throughout the country, which is great. We get to raise money for these pop ups that we do. But I mean, he's seed saving, and he's been seed saving, and his mother and his family has been seed saving. So a lot of these chilies that he has or these particular varieties of food that he's growing. They're hundreds of years old. And man, it's just, that's not uncommon in New England for families who have a history of sort of agriculture in their family to save seed. That's not uncommon, but it's really beautiful to sort of see the humanity within it, which is that, like, you know, Vietnamese culture thousands and thousands of miles away from North Adams, Massachusetts. It's still the same hunter-gatherer, like, human. There's still a human species thing, which is like, we grow something, we save the seed so that we can grow it again, and then we pass them on. It was this really beautiful thing. And man, just talking to him about, you know, identity and like what food means to us and having these conversations, it's a pleasure. And also he's an incredibly hard worker. They've got this farm that they're growing all this food for their CSA. They've got all these chickens. They do compost. Tu's husband, Matt, he's an artist, like an incredible artist. And they're doing pop-ups at the plant connector. And they're just busy. I'm making proverbial hay while the sun shines, and it's awesome to be around. It's really easy for me, because whenever he does a pop-up, he's like, he'll just come in, and he's like super organized, sends me like full prep list, me and Alex a full prep list, and like a schedule by day, and then we launch it, and then he comes in, he does most of the prep. I keep asking to do stuff, and he's like, no, it's fine, I'll do it. And not like I'm just sort of sitting on my computer, be like, you need anything, bud? But like, I don't know what to do. So I really just kind of wait for him, and a lot of the stuff we do together, but he does the majority of the lion's share of the work, and it's fun for him. So he says, until it stops being fun for him, he'll stop doing it, but it's nice to be around with it. So this past weekend, this is the second papa that we've done. The first one was for Vietnamese curry and pho, which, if you haven't had pho before, it's this rich sort of beef consomme, like this enriched broth that's like very delicate and yet also very full flavored, with rice noodles and this boiled like beef that has like tendon and cartilage in it. Oh my god. And then like all these little like scallions and cilantro and a bunch of other herbs on top. But like, really, it's about this like broth, and I think a lot of people eat it in the morning. And then we did a Vietnamese curry with, like, it was like a vegetarian curry with squash, which was rad. And then this past week we did a beef and carrot stew, which is amazing. And we got a dog backing up here. Beep, beep. and then this cabbage salad with this incredible, like, Thai chili, bird's eye chili vinaigrette. Oh, my. Or salad dressing, which actually apparently is supposed to be for spring rolls, but... We're doing another one Memorial Day. We're doing I don't know if I always say this right. Banh mi.
Mm-hmm.
The sandwich, the pate, baguette, pickles. So I'm super stoked to work with these guys. I mean, like, to do these kind of pop-ups is a lot of fun. It keeps my guys fresh. They get to see food from another part of the world, which is also really nice. But also, it's fun for the community to be able to taste stuff that they wouldn't normally taste, you know? So
does it seem like it's a step out, or is it, when the community sees this type of stuff happening at your restaurant, do they embrace it?
I mean, as far as we can tell, yeah. We have a little section on our Instagram page. It's called like Ticket Love, and we get a lot of like, 'cause there's a lot of transplants, you know, here in North Adams. When we lived in Martha's Vineyard, they would call them Washashores, which was like this nice colloquialism for people who had sort of like stumbled or had literally wound up in Martha's Vineyard and never left. And that's what North Adams feels like. I think it was derogatory, but they said that this is a lint trap. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I love to play with lint.
I'm that piece of corn that's stuck on the lint trap.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to go somewhere else. Yeah, with that. I'm a piece of corn stuck in your poo. Yeah. Yeah. It's a really, really diverse community of poo. All right, whatever. I'm stopping. Anyway, yeah. So there's a really diverse group of people that are from either from the West Coast or from big cities in like Chicago or New Orleans or Texas or Boston or New York and New York City. And, you know, access to different cultures' food is, I mean, that's one of the great things about living in those kinds of cities.
Mm-hmm.
So when we bring it back, or we do something here like that, I think people get, they get excited, first of all, because there aren't a lot of places that offer this particular type of food. There's not a lot of Vietnamese food in the Berkshires. And also there's a component of like authenticity to working with Tu, because it really is like a home cook. Like Tu is a professional cook, and he's worked in restaurants and he's got experience. But the recipes are really from the heart, and so it's really great, and everyone seems to really be down with it. So, yeah, I think we're going to keep doing that kind of stuff.
That's cool.
Mm. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And how about you, man? You're just slamming. You're just getting ready for the season, man. This is the time when things get really crazy.
This is the build up to the busy season for construction. I'm a glazier. That means I work for Dunkin' Donuts.
It's a massive piece of ice. This moves slowly.
No. I do a lot of work, public buildings, schools, police stations, libraries, all of that kind of stuff. So my busy season is definitely the summertime, pretty much.
How did you get into that? Into glazing?
So when we were first here, I am a transplant. My family moved here from...
Piece of lint, if you will.
Yes. We moved here from New York about 13 years ago.
The state.
Yeah.
Not the city.
Yes. If you listen to episode one, that will tell you where I came from.
For the folks at home.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we moved here 13 years ago. Never knew what this journey was going to be like. And nothing like moving a family of four people. Two boys, very young, moving to a place where you know one person. That was very challenging, especially that first year.
You still friends with that one person?
We are.
Yeah.
Yes. She brought us here, and we were like, oh, this is a beautiful, beautiful area. It's funny, I was driving my son back into Williamstown the other night, and I was like, you know, this was about the same time that we came here. The first year we came, and I had that memory of driving, is it 246 going into Williamstown, whatever the road is going into Williamstown, heading towards North Adams. I just had
what road are you talking about?
The one that takes you from Williamstown to Pownell and then
346?
346, okay. Not 246.
I was like, man, I feel like I know the roads around here, but boy, oh boy.
Highway 40.
Yeah, yeah.
Highway 40.
Route 12 and a half, man. You don't know Route 12 and a half?
Down by the guy with the sign.
Yeah, it goes from the guy with the sign to, you know.
To the burnt out caravan. And
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, 12 and a half. Yeah.
And there's a dog barking. But it's funny, you have those memories of times in your life, and we've talked about this so much. You're just getting transported a bit back when you have a smell from a food or hear a song, and it just takes you back to a time. And that time, there was so much changing in my life. And I just remember the feeling of being like, is this a good idea? Is this not a good idea?
Dude.
And it ended up being a great idea.
Yeah.
I mean, got into glazing because somebody asked me, hey, you want a job? And I was like, yes.
Sure do.
Not knowing what my life was going to be like for the next 13 years.
And you're like, I don't really know much about ice, but, you know, I'm sure I'll figure it out. You know, I'm a hard worker. I totally get the concept. It can be water. It can be a gas. I'm really into water. So these are glazer jokes for the folks at home.
Window lickers, as they like to call us on site.
Is that right?
Oh, yes.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Here comes the window lickers.
Okay. Oh, man, I totally know what you mean. Like, I was thinking about that, too. I took a ride. I finally got out on the bike. I ride a motorcycle. Oh my God, which is like the favorite, one of the things I'm so thrilled I discovered for myself. It was one of those things I always, always wanted to do. But anyway, I took a ride over Route 2. Oh, hell yeah. Oh my God. Oh my God. I've got a ride a Yamaha.
I know.
Oh
that's my God. Why I
Gabe
pulled
just,
it out.
Gabe just put this Go-Go Yamaha from the Spats featuring Dick Johnson.
1965.
What a name. Boy, oh boy. Dick, you really, really had something there, bud. Oh man, I can't wait to listen to this. I took this ride over Route 2, which they just repaved. And so it's really just heaven on the bike. But I remembered that Alex and I came through driving across the country the second time from Vegas to North Adams, and we took that same route. And it was snowing the weekend we were here, but I think it was April 6th, I want to say, which is when we arrived in town. So it's like this week, 5 years ago, that we came here. And it was like spring, those smells, driving across country, being on these big roads, no one else, it seemed, on the roads as well, too. And like this time of year, too, brings up all those beautiful memories. And I love that kind of stuff where like you smell, man, there was a thing in Vegas that I wish I could just have everybody smell. There's these bushes. They're called creosote, or I think they have a local name, like desert rain or something. And they're these sage. They're more or less like a sagebrush kind of thing. But when it's about to rain, all the pores on all the leaves open up, and like the smell is amazing. And so every time you smell that, you have all these memories that are with it. It's the same thing with food or music. It's like you hear that song, you're like, oh my God, you know. When the gin blossoms come on, I'm like, oh boy, that's trouble. Was it last week or the last episode we talked about Tragically Hip, or two episodes ago? Yeah, and it was like I put on after we left. I listened to the Hip for like a solid week, and not just the Fully Completely album. It was the first one. It's like 86 or whatever. Oh my God, dude, so good, so good. I'm sorry, I kind of cut off that whole diet, that whole thought. Line of discussion.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, don't let it happen again.
Gabe will do that all sorts of times.
Yeah,
what were you talking about?
Yeah,
what? It's it's cool that our community is a lot of transplants. Mm. It was funny when I moved here. I moved from the armpit of New York to what I was told is the armpit of Massachusetts.
Yeah. And, I heard that too when I moved here.
Yeah, and then somehow we've become this museum town, and it's not like it's just become that over the time, but no, it's definitely progressed into something much bigger, much better.
Totally,
the city has cleaned its act up quite a bit.
And, totally, and I noticed that like when we moved here 5 years ago, people were like, they were talking about this critical mass. And like how it was getting better and things were getting, but you didn't really, I mean, I don't know if you, I felt like this was a great place, but in the last couple of years, like everything has really taken off in such a beautiful way. Man, I'm really loving it. I really love living here.
So for our listeners that don't know what North Adams is, it's it's the smallest city in Massachusetts.
Is that right?
We're located in the northern westernmost point of Massachusetts. Right near Mount Greylock, the highest elevation in the Commonwealth.
That's right.
And
I did know that.
So we are about 3 hours north of New York, 3 hours east of Boston. I'm sorry, west of Boston. About 3 hours south of Burlington. About an hour east of Albany. So that's sort of your points on the map as to where we live.
Yeah, I liked the idea behind that. When we came here, it was like, oh, we're like 150 miles from every major outpost in the Northeast. And when we first moved here, we got in the car and we just drove like a couple hours in each direction just to explore. You know, Alex and I never liked taking big roads if we can help it. So we always, she'd drive and I'd just get on the map and we just navigate around. Be like, make a left here. Just, you know, sometimes we'd end up on some back roads that were dead ends. But, you know, as you sort of explore the area, that's what's great about living here. I think that's something that we never did, that I now I'm really enjoying. Like, we get to, you were just talking about, like, you pulled some trees down in the yard and you're about to put the camper in the backyard. And it's like, you get to enjoy the outdoors here a little bit. And for me, settling down has never been something that I've been comfortable with. I've always put in a ton of work and made my job my total priority. But like this winter with all the snow that we had, I think I got at least 12, 15 days of snowboarding in this year, which was awesome. And I haven't had that in a dozen years. And so it's like, I'm enjoying all this. Like, that's why the bike is really great. But also when Alex and I moved here, we're like, oh man, let's get out. Let's fucking explore. You and I both have sort of, I don't know, been a part of what's been going on here. I mean, I think when I first met you when you were spinning at Bright Ideas, because you and Eric are good friends. And I thought that was incredible. Like, that was one of those things where it's like, oh shit, there's like, I don't want to say like it sounds really arrogant to be like, oh, there's cool people here. But like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't know what, there's a big museum here. For those who are listening, there's a massive contemporary art museum that pulls a ton of people from around the world to come here for this world-renowned art to this small community in the middle of essentially nowhere. But we are in the Berkshires, which traditionally is the cultural corridor of Western Massachusetts.
That's what it says on the sign.
That's what it says. But also, I mean, I don't know why people live in North Adams. You know, like, I don't know what brings them here, but once they're here, it seems like everyone really enjoys living here. So, like, to meet Eric and Molly, two people who lived in New York City for a bunch of years, Eric's from Orange County, like, they've been around, man, and, like, they got a job at Mocha. Eric got a job at Mocha, and they moved here. And they're still here. You know, this is now 20 years later.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's incredible, man. You know, that's a big deal. And so it was like, Eric was kind of giving us the tour of the community. And then we met you, and it was like, man, there's some cool-ass people here. You know, like, because, you know, Gabe, you're the last person to toot your own horn, dude. But, like, you definitely don't bring small rural community vibes when you spin. Like, you spin big music that has, like, a rich history. And, like, you got, like, you're ready to skank, man. Like, you're got your waffle stompers on and you're, like, you're ready to go, man. You got your thin suspenders. You're like, full punk. It's great. And it's like, this is here? It sounds stupid. I realize that when I, on these podcasts, because I've been listening to these episodes, that I sound like a 12-year-old kid who's like, did you know? like, I'm so excited about the idea that, like, all these things that I'm discovering for the first time, but I don't care, man. That's me.
Yeah, it's great. The passion is real in both of our conversations, and I hope that our listeners enjoy these things, because it is somewhat of us just either, I don't want to call it geeking out, but just enjoying things very, very, very much
and aggressively
wanting to be wanting to talk about those things. So
yeah, but that's the thing, man. Like, we're in this community, and I'm always impressed with the people that I meet here, and it's great. This is a good place to live, man. You know, so I guess
I want to say thank you for thinking that I was cool. I remember meeting you, yeah, and you were working the bar, and you're like, hey, how about, can you play this? And I'm like, yes, I can play that. Yeah. Thank you for asking.
I think it was 007, like,
it was, Dave,
Dave
Barker.
That's right.
Not Shocks of Mighty, some reggae.
I am the Magnificent.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yes. So I think when we first met, I was like, wow, that's really cool. He knew this music and he knew it well, because you were singing along to so much of what I was playing, and That was a really fun night.
That was, dude. I'm so excited. I can't even tell you. So we're sort of like just getting back to the point where we can start to gather in larger numbers. And I think Racks and Stacks is 100% coming back this season, which, man, is like giving me chills.
Please, please come down Sundays.
Yeah, I'm telling everyone. We had a bunch of guys who were at offices upstairs in some of the buildings who gave us a bunch of shit about it last year. Shout out to people who don't appreciate Sunday afternoons for not working.
Take a chill, buddy.
Whatever. He's going to get the first call and be like, hey, we're all really excited to be outside this summer. We love you. We get it. But this is happening.
Don't rain on my parade.
Also, I think if anything, this COVID moment, this blip, if you will, for those Marvel fans out there, like what we've taken for granted in the past 12 months, I mean, there will be many books written about it, but I certainly feel like gathering together around music, live music, man. I mean, things I miss the most, and how easy it was to be like, hey, can you guys bring your records and we'll just like play some music out and people will just hang out and listen to tunes. Like, it seems like such a small thing, but that's pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, I hope that like when the airport rooms, like when, the guys over tourists, they start having concerts again. And then we're doing Racks and Stacks. It's like people come up here for the weekend, man. And they're going to listen to some great music. They're going to have some good food. They're going to drink some beer. They're going to chill, walk around the Berkshires. Man, I'm stoked.
That's our public announcement for Berkshire tourist.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Come and see.
So hold on a second. So I wanted to do this as sort of like our first little podcast activity here. So Gabe got a stack of records from his neighbor and we just sort of pulled them up. And I was like, you know, a lot of podcasts I like listen to are guys that like, they all watch a movie and then they talk shit about it for an hour. And I was like, man, we've got, oh my God, we've got these albums that were just in a box. And I was like, let's just look at these and see what's going on. Like this Sean Cassidy.
Oh, my favorite Cassidy.
Yeah, I mean, really, he's got that pinky ring on. It's really doing it for me.
He's stuck behind some plastic. I'm sorry, he's under wraps. That's what the record's called.
Dude, Harry Nilsson, The Point. Oh, man. There was an animated version of this that I grew up with my dad. Me and My Arrow. Oh, man, he used to sing that to me all the time. Oh, man, you are really bringing me back, dude.
And the big bifold sleeve.
Oh my God. There was a great animated series of The Point, if anyone has desire to watch it. Boy, they were great. Christmas Chipmunks.
That's a staple of my yeah. Growing up. I wore those albums out.
Who did the voice of the Chipmunks? Because they just sped it up, right?
Yes, basically.
How did they do that? They must have sung so slow. To speed it, I mean, did they have the technology to like increase the speed, but keep the like to increase the frequency of the voice?
It would have been two different tracks. So you would have had your backing track and then your vocal track. So
wow,
studio engineering at its best. But they would have had to be able to set up their speeds correctly. So as you speed up the voices, it's also going in time. So.
Yeah.
Yes, my mother is looking for this record, so this will be going to her.
Okay. Well, there's another Sean Cassidy album in here, and this one's even more disturbing than the first one, where he was like pushing through a plastic thing with a pinky ring.
He's not under wraps.
Nope. Now his chinless, ridiculous face is being looked at by some creepy woman. There you go.
Oh, somebody's watching me. Room service.
Yeah, okay, so let's just talk about the ridiculousness of this album. Appetizers would be considered side A, I presume.
Yeah.
And entrees are side B. That's bold to put entrees as the side B. One would assume that the meat would be on side A, but you know what? This guy's like, hey, man, I'm Sean Cassidy.
He kept it a little light on the first
side. That's right. He's like, he's like, oh, you think side B is going to be the weak side? I'm going to show you. That's dinner.
Shout out, break for the street.
Yeah, here's the, break for the street. the Archies. Boy, this is a bad, there's a lot going on here. Anyone's a fan of the Archies over here, this is the This Is Love album that has what looks like colored pencil and pastels. A couple of crazy folks, two of them running away from an Afghan, the dog, which Alex always calls like a ghost. She's haunted by these dogs for some weird reason. Here's yet another Chipmunks Christmas album.
I love the frilly jacket that this guy's got on.
This is great.
The Clancy Brothers.
The Clancy Brothers. Yep. I love the Clancy Brothers. You know that?
With Tommy.
That's actually a Scottish accent. Well, I love the Clancy Brothers. I love them. Hearty and hellish. A live nightclub performance. And what are they singing? Let's see. They'll be singing, Irish Rover. Oh, that's a good one. Mountain Dew. Incredible. Where is it? Jug of This. That's my favorite. I love this. I have like five or six of these, man.
Oh my God. Was that in your dad's collection?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, man. I was talking to someone about this, and they came up with this great... I was telling someone about this, about I'm listening to my dad's records, and they were like, you're listening to your father's... I wrote it down. I thought it was a great lyric.
It is interesting that the Clancy Brothers have a song called God Bless England.
Yeah.
So.
Listening to my father's dreams. I thought that was a great thing. This is like what I'm into, but like the Clancy Brothers for sure. I have a couple of those sweaters. Oh man, the Fifth Dimension. Last night I didn't go to sleep at all. One less bell to answer. Oh man, Aquarius. Another Chipmunks album? Jesus.
These people really like the Chipmunks.
I guess so.
The Chipmunks sing the Beatles.
That's for sure. Doing something. Oh, is this another Sean Cassidy? Oh, no, this is the Eurythmics.
That's the Eurythmics.
That's a great album. Oh, my God.
It was an interesting collection, and it's fun to go through people's records. I know we've talked about that and just sort of, like, seeing what gems are in people's collections.
Would I lie to you? Would I lie to you, honey? Would I tell you something that wasn't true?
Annie Lennox. Asking
you, sugar, would I lie? That was on the soundtrack of one of those John Cusack movies that came out at the same time. It was like Better Off Dead or One Crazy Summer.
I'm mentally going through these movies, which are great movies, by the way. Savage Steve Holland. Fantastic 80s movies.
Yeah. Speaking of which, we're looking at the album for The Hobbit.
The Rankin-Bass production of The Hobbit.
I mean, this was the animated favorites. Series I grew up with.
Yeah, that was the introduction to just how cool The Hobbit can be. Where there's a whip, there's a way. Nobody wants to hear me singing, but yes, that was my introduction. And
yeah, Gollum is real. I forgot what Gollum looked like in these, man. Boy, Andy Serkis really shaped that whole character, didn't he?
Yes. Incredible, incredible art. And this one actually has the full picture book, sort of read along with me and your book. Story tale with all the highlights.
Amazing.
Just remember how fat I thought the goblins were.
Yeah.
Big, tall jaws.
Oh, man. Smog.
But Gandalf. Gandalf was so classic in that. Just the picture. Like, anytime I think of Gandalf and people can picture... the gentleman from the movies. It's escaping me at the moment, but I always picture Gandalf from the Rankin and Bass.
Amazing.
He was just so cool. And then the Eagles. Let's just talk about the Eagles. I don't care.
The animated Eagles, not Not the band.
Not the band, the Eagles. The animated Eagles.
Yeah, I'm with the dude on that one.
The Eagles have the best timing in Middle Earth.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. Whatever's going on, whatever bad things are going to happen, all of a sudden the Eagles are going to pop up and they're going to take care of business.
Yeah, all is not lost. The goblins have many enemies. There is yet another army on the way. The Eagles.
Yes.
And they were probably talking about Hotel California. They're like, man, boy, you want to talk about what's going to be a buzzkill? It's going to totally take this war to the next level.
Eagles. Yeah, that's what.
Don Henley singing on the drums.
Now that we've taken a trip through these records, we're also going to take a musical trip.
Ooh.
So a new section on our podcast. Hey, you even found the right pad. So records sometimes would come out and then people would make response records. And so today we're going to go through two 45s that I have pulled up. And the first one is called My Wife Can't Cook by Lonnie.
Hey! Hey! My wife can't cook. This one's coming out to my old lady at home, the old ball and chain.
This is by Lonnie Russ. And I thought it would be a fun kind of, we can talk about them after, and we'll play one and then one later into the episode. And it's an interesting point of view from the male
and
the female and the relationship. And it shows that there's two sides to every story.
We're taking a cruise down the emotional roller coaster of this world of cooking for your spouse.
That's right.
Take it away.
It's Lonnie Russ. My Wife Can't Cook.
If it wasn't for the beans, they come out the can. I'm going to peas, the beef, the rice and the spam, the milk and bread being bought at the grocery store. I tell ya, I couldn't eat no more. Cause let me tell ya, my wife.
His wife, she can't cook.
Lord, if I thought she could read, I would sign her a book. But all she knows how to do is a fuss and holler. She don't even know how to boil water. Let me tell you what we had last night on a dinner table. A canned green bean, cold spinach and tomato. The nasty stuff I say you ever wanna see. And she was trying to feed it to me. Let me tell you, I think that woman just a downright lit. Cause I hear the sister call me Cocos and Gravy. My Cocos and Gravy in a one bean bowl. I thought I'd choke, but I got through when she said,
spit it out,
what you say?
Spit it out, spit it out, spit it out.
Oh, but I guess I'm gonna eat the slop in it. Oh, wait, so don't you get me wrong. I love that girl. I guess I'm about to crazy, the so man in the world. But I got to love her cause I got no friends. Oh, here she come with red beans and onions again. And she say,
spit it out.
What you say?
Spit it out, spit it out, spit it out.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 more time. Come on.
Shout out.
That was great.
Shout out to my wife, who can cook.
Yeah.
And I would laugh so hard when I'd play that. And
God.
She gives you that look.
Yeah.
The really? I get that look a lot, but...
For me, the part that I like the most is where he counts all the way to 8 and then counts right back down. Like, I mean, lyrics were thin, for sure. He's like, man, we gotta fill a couple of bars here.
It's a long way to count
1,
to 0.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Like, man, just letting it go. Amazing. Amazing.
Yes. So the just the fun things that you can find on 45.
Oh, dude, I'm so impressed with all these 45s you have. All right, what's the response to this?
Well, the response is from Little Alice. Yes.
And what's Little Alice say?
She says, "So what if I can't cook?"
What's the production date? Do you know what the?
I want to say it's 65.
No, for both albums. Did they come out the same year? When you say like call and response here, when it's like they're making the album.
And we'll put pictures of these up on a Instagram page or whatever. At some point, we're actually going to get our stuff together, our proverbial shit together.
Yeah, and, I mean, we're fine, dude. You know, like, I think we have our proverbial shit together. I just think that we're doing this for us right now.
That's true.
We're not getting any sponsorships or anything. This album is brought to you by Miller High Life. Thanks for bubbling up my guts. When you need to think whether or not you've shit your pants, try Miller High Life. You'll always be guessing. I said too much.
So through the... Hey! So the magic of the internet. These records came out in 1962.
Amazing.
A lot of times you'll find records that were responses to a song that came out, and they're not on the same label and or production company. This one actually is.
Dude. Hit it.
Hit it.
Arranged by the same person, too.
So, Little Alice. So, what if I can't cook?
Be glad to get the beans that come out the can. And get in this kitchen and give me a hand. With these dirty dishes all over the sink. I ain't studying about what you think. Don't you know that I know?
Nobody is chicken.
And you know you can't
Nobody
afford to buy me a book. You lay around, won't even look for a job. In the streets with that corner mob, you seem to think that you can get everything. Steaks on the table, you got to realize that you ain't able. Don't you know you got to go out and make some bread? I quit complaining about the food instead. Let me tell you, that man, he makes me so mad. I started to leave, sometimes I wish I had. Once I gave him cold cut and gave him stew. And he choked for he got through. And I said,
eat it up, eat it up.
What I say,
eat it up, eat it up.
Oh,
eat it up, eat it up.
Like it or not, eat it up anyway. Now don't you get me
Nobody
wrong, I love that man. I guess I'm about
Nobody
the greatest old girl in the land. But I love him till
Nobody
the end. But he ain't no good. He wouldn't get a job working if he could. So I say,
eat it up.
What I say,
eat it up, eat it up,
oh,
eat it up, eat it up.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 more time, come on. Come on.
Nobody, she can't.
What I say.
Nobody, she can't.
Ooh.
Nobody, she can't.
You call that doctor one more time, you're gonna drive me stone out of my mind. Come on.
Nobody, she can't.
Early in the morning.
Nobody, she can't.
Ooh.
Nobody, she can't.
Love you, love you, love you, love you a little bit softer. Come on.
Nobody, she can't.
There's that count again.
That is a long, long way to get back to Come On Now, Say It Again.
Still incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Better get eaten before I get mean.
Yeah, I like that as well, too. I also like the ladies in the background. Don't you know?
She can't cook. Yeah, I like those kinds of records because there's different points of view and we can see stories.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, I do all the working around here, so you should have me have my meal already. And she's like, listen, you wouldn't survive if it wasn't for me.
Yeah, and don't you think I know I can't cook? Don't you think I know I can't cook? Yeah.
If it wasn't for the beans.
That's right, man.
So we hope you have enjoyed the musical interludes today. We're going to try to do some more.
Yeah, that sounds like fun, man.
Broadening some of the stuff so you're not listening to us.
Are we at an hour already?
We're not at an hour. We're almost there.
Okay.
We're not quite.
I mean, I'm not going anywhere, but I'm just like, it's always amazing to me how quickly the time flies by. Oh, my God. Oh, excuse me. Right in the mic.
Right in the mic.
So what else you got there, bud? What else is in that pile?
Oh, there's a whole bunch of stuff in
what
this pile.
What was that? Go-Go Yamaha, man. Just play a little of that guy.
All right. We're going to do that. How about listening to the Spats? Go-Go Yamaha. Full speed, dude, Yamaha. I'm putting my black boots on.
Oh my God, I've got a smile from ear to ear. I can't believe this.
Do you think about that? You got to get away from it all?
Yeah. Kidding me? The ultimate form of escapism is like me getting on that bike and just getting out. Oh my God, but there really is an album for every... I mean, like, there's a song that was written for every single thing.
There is. And I love to collect them all.
Mm.
Just like Pokemon.
You gotta collect
them. You catch them all.
You have to. You have to collect them all. Man, we talked about this a while back, but, like, I think on one of the first or second episodes, but I'm impressed that somebody put together... Somebody wrote these lyrics. Like, someone was like, I mean, yeah, okay, beach, you know, sort of beach bongo kind of, you know, riding around in my Yamaha vibe in the early 60s, I imagine. Japanese motorcycles were coming to the States.
They were awesome.
You know, they were rad. Little, like, 50 and, you know, 75, 125 cc bikes. Honda, Yamaha. It was kind of cool, right? New fad. You know, Vespas were obviously pretty popular as well, too. But, man, like, it's just wild there's a song about it. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm the person who's excited about pretty much everything. But, you know, it's awesome. Because I'm exactly their target market. I'm like, wait a minute. I have a Yamaha. I'm going to put on my black boots. I'm going to ride full speed, man. What's next?
I got the end.
Oh, got it.
End
okay.
Song.
Yeah.
I just want to say, I know Dave Lincoln is not listening to us, but he's a gentleman from the Northern Berkshires who many of these records that I will play on here have come from.
Oh, really?
He's a good gentleman.
Where's he based out of?
He's from Dalton.
Oh, cool.
So he's a guy that just sort of, he's like a hound dog for 45s. Very much a guy that just really loves music, loves the 45 format, loves curating almost and passing down songs. I've had so many records come from him that I'm like, how did I live without this song? And he'll be just like, yeah, you got to check this one out. And I do. And
it's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So shout out Dave Lincoln.
Thanks, Dave. Keep on keeping on, man.
Keep hunting down those 45s. We appreciate it very much. So,
I mean, I feel like we're writing a song right now. Hey, Dave, keep on hunting down those 45s.
Sniffing them out on the trail.
I mean, yeah, like, this is writing itself. Hold on a sec. Let me get my pen and paper here.
It's not even a country song.
No. We could make it a country song. We could go full Trojan style and, like, do, like, a reggae version of a country version of Dave Keep Sniffin'.
That's the title.
Yeah.
Dave Keep Sniffin'.
Dave Keep Sniffin', yeah. And then the response will be, don't talk about me on the radio.
Don't talk about me on the radio.
I don't want people to know my name.
Nah, he's a good guy, and I've had multiple times where he has taken the time to be like, you need to listen to this song. And I very much appreciate when people can curate sort of to your tastes and also open up your eyes.
I swear, I was thinking about this on the ride over. I was thinking, what is the thing about music that is like has gone the way of the dodo in this new age? Mixtapes, dude. We talked about this a little bit, but like, I was like, man, when people curate music for me and they're like, I made this mixtape for you, man. Mm-hmm. These are the songs that when I listen to, I think about you. Usually for me, again, it's like Gin Blossoms or like Tonic or like, terrible music from the 90s. But whatever, man. Like, I found some old mixtapes and this guy Dave is like, and he's showing you music. It's cool that you're also kind of open as well, too. Like, you're always on the hunt for new music.
Oh, very much.
Yeah.
When I don't have it, it's a bit of like needing a fix.
But there's an endless amount of music. I mean, it's infinite. I mean, obviously, you were like, "Hey, I'm wondering if there's an album, you know, just talks about Yamaha bikes. Any chance is there one?" And sort of like an early '60s surf Beach Boy kind of vibe. Yeah, as it turns out, there is.
It's the Spats. Go Yamaha.
It's the Spats. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, you don't know the Spats? Oh, yeah.
They're very dapper dressers.
Yeah, just their shoes though.
Oh
yeah, just the shoes,
the go-go boots, and everything else, the mohair suit.
Oh man,
yes,
dude, amazing.
So big shout out to Dave.
Yeah, that's great, man. Yeah, it's nice that you can find that you have people within this community. It seems like this 45 community is pretty rich as well, too. You know, like getting to know Tall Ass Matt, mm-hmm. but also the guys that. I forget the name of the gentleman up in Quebec.
Patrick Fozzi.
Patrick, yeah.
And Benjamin Shulman.
You've got like this rich group of people that you're connected with that are constantly sending you great music.
There's a good bunch of us.
Yeah.
Shout out to my buddy David McDaniel, better known as Selector David Suede.
Dude.
He
played with you at... Selector Dave, he played with you at that Hilo show, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, he's instrumental in bringing me back to DJ spinning. Yes, get it? Bringing me back to spinning records. We spun a couple times last year, either right prior to COVID and then a barbecue and a scooter rally last year. And he's been huge. We definitely drive each other. He's a very, very dapper gentleman.
Mm.
And
yeah, you guys looked amazing that night.
He always is dressed to the nines, and I feel like the dirty little kid.
I'm like, I got pants on.
Well, you are the dirty little kid. I mean,
I am sort of the dirty kid.
You guys
kid.
Can't see at home what I'm looking at, but it's not great. Yeah.
For once in my life, I'm wearing sweatpants. That's a...
We're both wearing sweatpants today. I don't know if we coordinated this, but yeah.
Paul Gordon, if you're listening, I am wearing sweatpants right now. But these are not my Walmart sweatpants, so.
Oh, well then.
There is no such thing in this house. No Walmart sweatpants.
You know, you've got standards. You know? I do. You've got to draw the line somewhere, bud.
These do not leave the house.
Yeah. I mean, I know. I just woke up. I did this thing yesterday in the past couple of days where once a year or so, I like to, this is relatively new for me, this practice, but I just pull everything off my shelf and then my clothes and I just refold everything and then everything I don't wear or haven't worn since the last time I did it, it goes away. Just like getting rid of clutter is a blast. It feels great. And so it's really nice to sort of have a clean pile of things that I know that I'm going to wear. There's still a couple t-shirts and I'm like, I don't want to get rid of that.
Do you have sentimental attachments to t-shirts?
Yeah. In an unnecessary way. I have way too many t-shirts.
I can't shut my t-shirt drawer, but I can't unclutter that thing.
I tried it today. There was this cool T-shirt I used to get. There was a company called T-Post, which is still around. I don't know. I think I got one as a gift. Excuse me. I got one as a gift, but it's a really cool program. Shout out to T-Post if you're looking at this. It's essentially a magazine. And every issue, every month, you get a T-shirt in the mail. And the T-shirt has art on the front. And on the inside of the T-shirt is an article that's printed on the inside. And so it's like a little bit of interest. There's a little information about the artist. And then the art on the front is representation of like a particular topic. Like there was this one about rodeo clowns. And there was this artist who did this weird thing about rodeo clowns. And there was like an article on the inside. And it was really cool. And you don't get to pick. It's their one-offs. And they send them once, and that's it. They never, ever reprint them. And so it's kind of cool. And you have, like, I had 5 or 6 of them. I had a subscription to those, but then I couldn't afford it anymore or whatever. I stopped. But it's great. I just love the concept, you know?
About a year ago, I had to thin my herd of T-shirts.
Yeah.
And that was hard.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great band shirts that you're like, I remember when I bought that and that night. And so whether or not my fat gut can fit into it still or not, didn't always sway the...
You don't like Sex and the City fashion show it for Amber and the kids? You just sort of like come out of the closet with like a different tiny like Black Flag T-shirt that's like up around, like it's like a little midriff.
I do that from time to time just to shock everyone, but...
Yeah.
Why is Dad wearing a 2T T-shirt on his arm?
Don't worry about it.
That's just the way that I roll.
Mind your business, kids.
This is between your mom and I. I'm wearing this shirt.
It still fits.
It's funny how the Southern twang is my sort of go-to. Yeah, what's up, man?
Yeah.
I don't know why, but... I enjoy it.
King of the Hill? We just grew up watching.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. We spend a lot of time at work just imitating things, whether it's, damn it, Bobby. Oh, yes.
Dude.
There's a pizza lady that I love very much. She's Greek, and she is my go-to in Greenfield.
Okay.
And she is my go-to lady for a voice. I really enjoy that lady's voice. It's very deep, and she talk like you want the pizza now. I love that lady.
Oh, my God.
Anyways,
amazing.
I'm just clogging up the airwaves with nonsense now.
That's great, dude. Yeah.
This has been an episode where we've just been all over the map. But
yeah, totally.
I hope that people are enjoying the journey.
Yeah. I'm glad I've been getting some... I was saying that we got a little bit of feedback, which has been great. And I don't know, man. I hope we start... We keep it going. I like that there's relatively no format. Including this music interlude, I think is fun, and hopefully we get some interviews in the next few months and get some people on here.
Yeah, if you guys hear us and you want to be on the show, let us know.
Yeah, totally.
we can talk all day long.
Yep. Well, have a beautiful Saturday, dude.
Yeah, it's a Saturday. I'm gonna go help somebody move.
Oh,
and run. God.
Sounds awful.
Yeah. And it's the first Saturday without any hockey.
Oh,
so it's sort of a bittersweet.
Yeah.
Last Saturday, my son scored a goal. So.
Oh, dude.
I'll take it.
Sick, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm thankful for last day hockey goals.
Yeah. Well, that's rad.
Goals in general.
Yeah. Goals are good. Dude, what a great. I love doing this, man.
Yeah. So, Aaron. If somebody wants to find you, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at OsterSignCo, which is going to be changing soon. That handle is going to change soon because I'm not doing the signs anymore. But OsterSignCo, or I'm on Facebook. I think MySpace. I still have an account
yes.
set up there somewhere.
Love that.
But yeah, Instagram. That's where I'm at. OsterSignCo.
And you can find me, Gabe Bisa, at Instagram, Redeemed Hooligan. So, yeah. There you go. There's the plug for where to find us. I've had people say, "Hey, well, how do you do this?"
And yeah.
So we're getting better. We're getting there.
Yeah. Well, thanks for another episode of Racks and Stacks.
Yes. Thanks for talking and listening to all these goofy stuff. And
who's playing us out?
This is John Roberts. Sockin' 1, 2, 3, 4.